After Haman's decree to annihilate all of the Jewish people is announced, Mordechai pleads with Esther for help. Go before Ahasuerus to plead on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Esther tells Mordechai, I can't just walk into the palace. I'll be putting my life in jeopardy. Everyone knows that any person that appears before the king unsummoned, achas dase lahamas, that is an immediate death sentence. And I haven't been called into the king's chambers in the last 30 days. When Mordechai senses Esther's hesitancy, he tells her, if you keep silent at this time, revach v'atzala yamed lehudim imakam acher. The Yeshua for Klal Yisrael will come from another source. Imi yadeya, and who knows, im le'es kezois agat l'malchus. Perhaps because of this very moment, you were appointed queen. This was your mission in life. You are about to squander it. This will go down in the annals of history that you let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity slip through your hands. To illustrate this point, I'd like to share with you a fascinating story about the Ponovitcherov. Besides being a great tzaddik and a gun, he was also known as a prolific fundraiser. The Ponovitcherov was also a very charismatic person and a dynamic speaker. He would travel from town to town to make appeals for his yeshiva. One time he arrived to a certain city in America and the whole town was abuzz. And finally it's Shabbos morning and the shul is packed. And right before Kriyas HaTorah, the Gabbai gives him the signal to go up to speak. And as he's about to approach the podium, the Rav of the shul tells him, Ponovitcherov, you should know that in this town we have a custom that all the tzedakah that gets collected over here is given only to the local moizdis. That's our policy here. And therefore, we're not going to give any tzedakah to the Ponovitcher Yeshiva. However, since you are a great baldarshan and an inspiring speaker, please go ahead and give your speech anyway. The Ponovitcherov wasn't fazed. He gets up to the podium, was Pasha Shemois, and he says, I had a speech prepared, but the circumstances have changed. So let me share with you another thought that I have on the Parsha. And he says this incredible part. When Moshe Rabbeinu was put in a basket and placed into the Nile River, the Pasuk says that they satsa b'choyse merachek, and his sister Miriam stationed herself at the bank of the river, l'deya maya oseloi, to know what would happen to him. Asked the Ponovitcherov, this child had a father and a mother and a brother. Where were they? Can you imagine putting a three-month-old baby in the Pacific Ocean and just walking away? And you don't even look back? You continue on with your life like nothing happened? Miriam was there, but where was Amram? Where was Yecheved? Why didn't they stick around to watch what would be the end result with their son? And he said something incredible. The Gemara says that Miriam was a prophetess, and she knew b'nevuah that her mother would give birth to a son that would be the Mashiach Shel Yisrael. She knew that her brother Moshe will be the savior of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, she knew all along that some way, somewhere, somehow, little Moshe will be saved from the river. She knew that Hashem would perform a miracle on his behalf and would rescue him. So you know why Miriam stayed? Because she wanted to witness the miracle firsthand. She wanted to observe who will be that person who will be Zoicha to physically carry out Hashem's mission and pull Moshe out of the river. When Bas Pare came along and stretched out her arm, Miriam was rewarded for her patience, and she was able to see the amazing miracle happen right before her eyes. So now the Ponovitcherov turns to the crowd and he says, let me tell you something. The Ponovitcher Yeshiva will survive. In fact, it will thrive and will outlive all of us. The only question is how. Who will have the schus to do it? Who will have the foresight and the wisdom to want to be part of it? And that is why I travel around from town to town to meet those lucky people, to meet all those Miriams around the world who want to witness and have the schus to be part of this great legacy. And indeed, his words proved to be prophetic. Mordechai told Esther, regardless whether you plead your case before Ahasuerus or not, either way, Klal Yisrael will somehow be rescued. Hashem will perform a miracle. So why don't you want to be the heroine of the Purim story for all eternity? The Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah, Esther Amalka petitioned the Chachamim to have Megillas Esther included as part of the 24 books of Tanakh. And Klal Yisrael should read it and recount the story every year on Purim. And perhaps the reason Esther wanted her story written down for posterity is to teach us this important lesson. There are times in our life where we are presented with an opportunity to accomplish something truly remarkable. But it may require of us to make a major commitment of our time, of our resources, and we are hesitant. And we come up with all sorts of excuses. This is way above my head. I don't have the time, I don't have the intellect, and we pass on it. Imi yadeya, and who knows, im le'es kazois, if this was our specific mission in life, Hashem put me down in this world at this time, in this place, for just this moment, maybe if we would just go a little bit out of our comfort zone, we could not only do the job, but even excel at it. If Esther would not have risked her life and gone in to the king to plead on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Hashem would have found another shliach to get the job done. This still would have been a Purim Megillah, but it might have been Megillas Chana or Megillas Dina, and Esther would have just become an obscure footnote in Jewish history. So when opportunities come knocking, you be the one to open up the door. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.